Missed an episode of your favorite podcast? Choose from over a decade of content in our archives. Not just the latest episode. All free at GCNlive.com.
America Tonight. Each and every show, we kick it around with our pals from Talk Radio News. Ellen Ratner is with us. She's in our virtual green room getting ready for another trip to the Sudan again. Ellen, they must all know you. Does everyone just wave to you in the airport?
Well, I am pretty well known in South Sudan, actually. people know me there better than they do here, for sure.
There you go. How is Goats for the Old Goat doing?
Well, Goats for the Old Goat is doing very well, although I'll tell you, we have a lot of literally starvation up in northern Bahr Ghazal. We are able to purchase goats, and so we are trying to still give them away, female she-goats, not for eating, but produce milk for families in northern Bahr Ghazal in South Sudan, because it's just a disastrous situation there.
All right, so that's good. So tell everyone they can go to Goats for the Old Goat, right?
GoatsfortheOldGoat.com. You got it. And buy a goat. And as opposed to other organizations who shall remain nameless, we actually give people a picture with their goat and the recipient and their name, so they know that goat goes to that person.
Oh, that's great. Love it. Rand Paul declares for president, not a surprise, but did you catch any of the speech? What did you think?
You know, he's trying to be Dr. Rand Paul instead of Senator Rand Paul. Their people are putting out all these things about how he's done 100 eye surgeries in Guatemala, and he's a volunteer, and he's such a good doctor, and they want them to think of him as the friendly neighborhood doctor, not the senator from Louisville, you know. And although he announced in Louisville, he is going to New Hampshire tomorrow.
Wow. All right. So we'll see how far that gets him for sure. And it's interesting because now you just have two in, and Hillary Clinton, what, in less than 2 weeks, you think she declares?
Oh, I think she has to. Now, apparently, as you know, she has rented space in Brooklyn, and the Truth and Honesty, apparently, it is in the company that is run by my family, Four City Enterprises. But they have not told me when she rented, because the clock starts ticking 15 days after she signs the lease.
Wow, interesting.
You have to declare within 15 days, says the security, FEC, Federal Election Commission.
Yeah, so they've got that. All right, how about Chuck Schumer? Were you surprised by the longtime senator from New York back in Congress on the Iran deal?
I'm not, because he has a very heavy Jewish constituency in New York. He has gotten a lot of help and finance, et cetera, from that part of the community, and so he is going to do the bidding of those people no matter what.
Yeah. How about this? Because I found this interesting. In fact, you sent me the link to it, that Greece is asking for $303 billion USD, baby, from Germany. Are you kidding?
Yes, they are. They say they want reparations, and they're saying that part of what happened is during World War II, they were made to take money out from their banks to lend to the Nazis, and that's part of the reason they're in such financial trouble. I mean, give me a break. A court in Italy about 5 years ago said water under the bridge, can't rescue it now.
Yeah, there you go. All right, safe travels to the Sudan. We'll talk to you again soon. Thanks, Ellen.
You got it. Thank you.
All right, interesting. You heard what Ellen Ratner had to say there about her family in the building and Hillary Clinton's people getting ready to rent that building. We know that it's just a matter of time before she drops the official news that, yeah, surprise, I'm running for president. And we've said this a million times, it seems like, anyway, here on America Tonight. Certainly, there's not much opposition to Hillary Clinton in the Democratic Party. Because it's a foregone conclusion. Would you really put yourself through that rigmarole of what you have to do on a campaign to go up against Clinton? I mean, is there an opening there for some Democrat? I think of the Democrats when she first turned that corner in 2008, and you had John Edwards, you had Barack Obama and Hillary Clinton and a slew of others. And there was enough that was spread around in the beginning that it looked like, hey, this isn't a layup for anybody at this point. But I think you can safely say, from the Democratic point of view, that this is a layup, that this is Hillary Clinton's election. This is her give back. It's the same with Jeb Bush, and we've talked about that. Dan in Texas has called in. I've said that all along the way, that if Jeb Bush was getting into the race, that's exactly what it is. Hey, you didn't get this the first time around when you thought it was going to happen. Instead, your brother did. So your family has a legacy. You know how to raise the money, and we will gladly be a part of that. But, you know, this, it has to start somewhere. So let's get everybody warmed up to the idea that you're going to be in this. And sure enough, he's going to swagger into this race. It's just a question of, you know, when that officially happens. All right, coming up on this hour of America Tonight, we're going to have a conversation with a really interesting guy who wrote jokes for David Letterman, who did the puppeteering for Jim Henson, has an incredible background, and is a very, very funny guy. His name is Michael Paul Ziegfeld, and he'll join us in our third segment here in this first hour to kind of lighten the load and give us the skinny, kind of peel back the onion on Hollywood a little bit. And some of the things that he saw from the comedy, I guess, point of view, and working with a couple of different actors like Kevin Spacey. And I'll tell you, I think of all the people that I've interviewed, I think he may be one of the more authentic people from the entertainment industry anyway. And he's got an interesting book out that kind of mixes a whole bunch of Hollywood stories and myths and whatnot. He kind of debunks a few myths, let's put it that way. And speaking of debunking some myths, we'll be talking about what's going to happen in court with Jokhar Tsarnaev. There are some, actually I was listening today just to hear what they were saying in Boston. I was listening to a couple of different shows, and there were some saying that they feel as though this is a foregone conclusion, that in the sentencing phase, already jumping ahead because the jury hasn't decided yet, that it's a foregone conclusion in the sentencing phase that they will probably, given the makeup of the jury and just watching signs, go for the death penalty. And I was surprised to hear that, just because knowing the people that make up Massachusetts and the needle moving definitely more in the liberal area than in the conservative area, I would think the opposite. I would think it'd be very tough, no matter what the circumstance, horrificness, terroristic act, terrible, terrible thing that happened at the Boston Marathon, but still very, very hard to convince a jury in Massachusetts to you know, deliver the death penalty. And that's should they find him guilty of all of the counts that they talked about. And there were 30 counts that were leveled against him, plus some. So they haven't gotten to the verdict yet, but leaping ahead, I found that when I was flipping around, there were a lot of people that were already talk show type people that were analyzing the possibility of would this go to a, you know, would the sentencing phase end up in the death penalty? To me, and you know how I feel about that, I am a proponent of the death penalty given certain circumstances, and the heinous nature of this crime is beyond, to me, this world, and is worth putting him to death for this without a doubt. But I'm not in Massachusetts. I'm not one of those jurors first having to decide on his guilt, innocence, etc., then going through the sentencing part of this. What would you do if you were on that jury? Be honest. Remember, left of left, right of right, all opinions welcome here on America Tonight. Have you ever heard of a pharmacist who discourages the use of most prescription drugs? Well, pharmacist Ben Fuchs is that person, and boy, is he fascinating. He's a nutritional pharmacist and skincare specialist who operates out of Boulder, Colorado. And to hear this man speak is nothing less than inspiring, because he's charismatic and makes a lot of sense. He asks, why take dangerous drugs when all your body needs to stay healthy is all natural with no side effects? Pharmacist Ben sees the human body as a healing and regenerating system, divinely designed to heal and renew itself on a moment-to-moment basis. doses, but it needs nutrition and nutritional supplementation. Ben says you've got to be on a nutritional supplement program if you want to be healthy in 21st century America, and he wants to help people get off the toxic drug treadmill and get on a good nutritional supplement program. I support what pharmacist Ben is saying and doing to help America get healthier, and I urge you to watch and listen to Ben deliver his powerful message at your convenience. Just go to AmericaTonightTeam.com. That's AmericaTonightTeam.com.
Friends, this is Alex Jones for MidasResources.com. For more than 15 years, I have exclusively used Midas Resources for all my precious metal needs. Whether it's bullion or collectibles you're looking for, Midas Resources is simply the best. I own my gold as a hedge against inflation. This Federal Reserve fiat currency could go the way of the Deutschmark and the Weimar Republic anytime. In these historically dangerous times, it makes sense to physically hold gold and silver. Midas already has some of the best deals in the industry. But if you give them a call and mention the radio special, they will give you a list of the day's super specials. Midas brokers are standing by to answer all your questions at 800-686-2237. They also have a lot of informative free literature explaining the opportunities and risk of holding precious metals. They are ready to answer your questions at 800-686-2237. Again, that's 800-686-2237.
Hi, this is Steve Sanchez, and based on a recent study, it was found that 57 million Americans had legal issues over the last 12 months, but only 60% of those studied sought out the services of a lawyer. Why? In a nutshell, affordability. Well, my friends at Legal Shield have created a solution that can help you not if, but when you need an attorney. For as little as $17 per month, Legal Shield will provide you unlimited access to qualified attorneys at an accomplished law firm for advice and counsel on legal issues, no matter how serious or trivial. For over 40 years and with 1.4 million families across North America, Legal Shield can help you, the loyal GCN listener. Representatives are standing by now to answer your questions, so call them now at 1-855-340-SAVE. That's 1-855-340-7283, or visit them at lsprotection.com. That's lsprotection.com.
Results will vary from case to case.
America tonight, in the world of, oh, here we go again, politically speaking, Rahm Emanuel, part two. He is the mayor again in Chicago. In other words, winning a second term as mayor. You know, I thought Chicago was pretty much divided over good old Rahm and what kind of job that he was doing, especially because of the violence that still continues to flourish in that city, and also problems with education and what's happened as far as education is concerned there. And we know that we've seen, you know, there's been a strike under his watch and several other things that have happened in the city. I think that took maybe some people by surprise, annoyed them at the very least, and sort of sank his star for a while. But I guess he was able to bounce back and get the people in Chicago to believe in him enough that they were willing to vote for him again. And sure enough, the Rahm Emanuel, like I said, gets that second term as mayor of Chicago. Rand Paul, no surprise, and we mentioned that this was going to happen today. Rand Paul throws in for president, so we have another candidate officially in on the Republican side of things. You're going to hear what he had to say at the tail end of the show. Rand Paul, pretty much as Ellen had said when I asked her, that pretty much he's running as Dr. Rand Paul, in other words, really playing up the doctor part of his life more so than the early senatorial term that he's been, you know, that obviously he's been part of when he was elected in those avalanche of midterms. Thanks a lot in part to the Tea Party in Kentucky and all the excitement over Rand Paul coming in. And listen, libertarians love Rand Paul. Younger people love Rand Paul. How does he do with the base? How does he stand up against Scott Walker, Ted Cruz, how does he stand up to Marco Rubio? When we put everybody in the middle, where does, in other words, and you shake it out, who is left standing? And I think it's going to be interesting to see running mates. I think that, and I've said this now a bunch of times, and I've talked to some political insiders about this. This is a case where you really are looking at what is what I call the undercard. You're really looking to see who is it that's going to make the that's going to get people excited on the VP side of things. You know, sometimes it's not just a throwaway spot. Oh, there's all the jokes about, oh, the VP, and what does the VP do? They're there just in case, you know, they're in line just in case the president is killed or something unforeseeable happens. He dies of natural causes or she dies of natural causes, whatever it is. But the bottom line is that in an election cycle, especially, I think, when you have both sides open, in other words, an incumbent isn't running, so it's wide open. I think that VP position can really help you, especially if the person is popular. I mean, listen, why did LBJ become, you know, the running mate for JFK? Think of the importance of Texas and the votes there and what that meant. And really, you could go through at times, especially in a more open time, in other words, when there wasn't that incumbent running, and you could look and you could pick it out. You could pick out, oh, that makes sense. That's why, you know, they went in that direction instead of a more obvious choice. And I think that's what's going to probably happen here with the Republicans and with Hillary Clinton, because she's going to, whatever it is that she's going to need, and it's probably Castro is probably who's going to be on her ticket, but maybe not. A Hispanic, somebody who could really unite the Hispanics and get that Hispanic vote out, would probably be very big for her. But this is, you know, you look at Ted Cruz, you look at Marco Rubio, you look at Scott Walker, and you mix all that up, and, you know, you put some of them together in the right combination, and that can make for a very interesting race to the end in 2016. I think it's going to be interesting. Now, you got a lot of the old guard going away, by the way, in Congress, since we're talking about politics for a minute. Senator John McCain, you're going to have to pry this office away from him. He's running for a sixth term in the Senate. I mean, we saw him take his shot at the presidency a couple of different times. The best possibility for him was the Bush days when he was neck and neck with Bush too. But I think once Sarah Palin was on the ticket and what was happening there, there wasn't much hope for McCain, in my opinion. So the idea of the presidency is out the window. We know that. So he's running for re-election, going for that sixth term, and he's decided this is what he does. He wants to do it. He wants to represent Arizona. You know how old he's going to be on Election Day in 2016? Dude, it's a great trivia question. How old will McCain be on Election Day? 80 years old. And he downplayed the whole concern about his age, because immediately when he mentioned he was running, people asked about his age. And would he still have the energy to be an effective senator? And he said, look at my 18-hour days. Look at the hearings we have. Look at my legislative accomplishments. And he said, I'm just getting started. He said, I think I have the knowledge in the background to help this nation through very perilous times, and I believe I can still contribute in many ways to the welfare and benefit of my state. And McCain, by the way, was just recently named chairman of the Armed Services Committee, and he's been one of the more vocal critics of President Obama's foreign policy, because, of course, he's about intervention, and he's about jumping in Iraq and Syria to do whatever's necessary to stomp out ISIS. And even in the Ukraine, he was a big advocate of doing something there. But he has a little bit of a challenge this time around. A little bit of a challenge because the Tea Party there, they're saying that he's too moderate for our blood. He's too moderate. So one of the contenders is Congressman Matt Salmon, who's been rumored as a potential contender anyway. So he may be the guy who really challenges him. And isn't that interesting that he would be 80 on election day, and this would be his sixth term if he wins it. And he says he's got plenty of stamina, wants to do it, wants to be there. But because he's really dubbed a moderate, how much is that going to hurt him? When we talk about the base and running for president, what does it do when you're someone like McCain who's pretty visible? You've been there for a while. You are definitely part of the old guard or considered part of the old guard. And with the push to bring in new blood, not necessarily it has to be young. I don't know that it's an age thing, but it's more about different ideas, especially somebody who tends to slide on the moderate scale for the Republicans. Yeah, that's that could be interesting to see if McCain hangs on to that seat or not. How many people will go in and just vote for McCain for what he does for Arizona and for things that he's done in the past with Arizona, especially when it comes to immigration? A lot of people in Arizona like his immigration stance. And speaking of that, Rick Perry, the former governor of Texas, is getting a lot of attention as the Texas Dream Act has been poured over in a couple of different directions. And, you know, he wants to be another body jumping in for the Republicans in a race to become president. He signed the original Dream Act in 2001, defended it when it came under massive scrutiny in 2012 when he was running for president. And, you know, his whole thing is we need to educate the children because they're going to become a drag on our society. Texas voted on it, and I still support it today. But on Monday, a Texas Senate committee is going to take up a bill rolling back the law. It's expected to pass in the Senate, but might be a little bit tougher in the Texas House. So the bill, this was crazy, provided in-state tuition benefits for non-citizens who lived in the state for at least 3 years before graduating high school. And it required those getting benefits to indicate that they plan to apply for citizenship as soon as possible. So he made that pitch, and he really launched that and pitched that hard, and now they're talking about actually rolling it back. So a different mindset in the Lone Star State when it comes to the Dream Act. Stay with us. Coming up next, going to introduce you to a comedian that you might not have heard of, but you probably heard a few of his jokes from places like The Letterman Show. Stay with us.
The human body is extraordinary. Despite all the stresses we inflict upon it, it still works hard to stay in balance. Thousands upon thousands of people rely upon Heart and Body Extract to help their body stay balanced. This excellent 100% natural herbal formula helps maintain healthy blood pressure levels, cleans arteries, promotes good circulation, balances cholesterol, and more. HB Extract, paired with healthy lifestyle choices like good nutrition and exercise, can give you a life free of pain, sickness, and fear. Recapture your youthful vitality and experience your body healing itself with the aid of HB Extract. It's extremely effective and it starts working in just days. Visit HBExtract.com to learn more and to read scores of testimonials from satisfied customers. And we've never increased our price in over 10 years. That makes Heart and Body Extract as great a value now as it was the first day we sold it. A healthy heart is a happy heart. Call 866-295-5305 or go to HBExtract.com.
Independently leading the way for the nation. Compelling talk for every political persuasion. We are GCN.
Mike Stenerson from Midas Resources. At no time in history have precious metals been more important, certainly not in my 22 years in the industry. The dollar has lost over 90% of its value in the last 60 years. No fiat currency has ever survived the government printing presses. Ours is not immune. The time is now to be proactive. 1-800-686-2237, extension 116. Anything tied to the dollar is at risk. CDs, annuities, 401ks, IRAs, stocks, bonds, you name it, so decide. Do you want to leave a legacy of wealth or debt for your family? The choice is yours. Call me at 1-800-686-2237, extension 116. That's 1-800-686-2237, extension 116. Be proactive, not reactive. Call 1-800-686-2237, extension 116.
Attention taxpayers, if you've received a notice from the IRS or state, do not ignore it. It's also a big mistake to try and handle your tax problem on your own. If you owe back taxes, it's a fact that the government has the power to take everything you own, including your home, business, wages, savings, and your freedom. But here's the good news. There's a special toll-free tax hotline set up especially for you. This tax hotline will tell you about new programs that are geared to help you dramatically settle, reduce, or eliminate what you owe. But you have to call now. Take down this number or put it in your cell phone. But call 877-345-7645. That's 877-345-7645. When you call, you get free information on how you can reduce or eliminate back taxes, including penalties and interest. You can also be helped if you have unfiled returns, a tax lien, wage garnishment, bank levy, or if you've been entered into a payment plan but can't make the payments. Don't make the big mistake in thinking you can ignore or handle your tax problem on your own. You can stop the collection process immediately at 1-877-345-7645. That's 1-877-345-7645. 1-877-345-7645.
We live in a complicated society. Stressful issues are always popping up. Have you ever been treated unfairly by someone? Have you ever been overcharged for a repair? Have you ever signed a contract or a document worried about identity theft? How many times have you been in those unique situations where you just wanted to call an attorney to find out if you're right or wrong or what your legal rights are? But every time you think about calling an attorney, what do you think about first? That's right. Who do you call and how much will it cost? Our friends at Legal Shield have found a solution. With a nationwide network of 6,900 attorneys who average 19 years of experience, Legal Shield's law firms take over 40,000 calls per week helping their members. For less than $20 per month, you can have access to Legal Shield on everything from the trivial to the traumatic. Let Legal Shield stand up for your rights at lsprotection.com. That's lsprotection.com. Or call 855-340-SAVE, 855-340-7283.
Results will vary from case to case.
Me some funny people, you know that. I'm always in search of learning how to tell a joke better, first of all, personally, but I love to have the funny people on the show. So Michael Paul Ziegfeld is with us. He's the author of Breaking Out of Show Business, What I've Discovered by Not Being Discovered, and I love one of the quotes from him, where basically he says, I've always said I've skyrocketed to the middle, but he has been all over the world. He's worked with some famous people, and he's done some very, very cool things. Michael, thanks for coming on America Tonight.
Thanks for having me. Yeah, it's it's one of those things where I the skyrocketing to the middle. I was saying that before Kathy Griffin's D-list, but it's funny. I've had several careers and over the last 25 years, and everyone says, "Well, gosh, why have you done so many things? How have you succeeded at so many things?" I'm like, "Well, panic, just panic." the panic of, trying to have a career or climbing up that ladder, no matter what business you're in, everyone has to go through, getting people to take your call and the validation of whether you're making it or not, and also knowing when it's time to step away. So it's been a very interesting ride.
Yeah, and one of the things you did, I mean, you had all kinds of, you had a lot of cool jobs that you did, including radio, but you at one point you also puppeteered for Jim Henson. What was that like?
Well, you know, I kept being offered different areas of the business. It wasn't that I was unfocused. I just really kind of enjoyed everything. And, you know, most people know what they want to do, and then they go to school for it, and then that's what they become. And I really never really knew my niche, although I will say that from the womb, the puppetry was a type of performance that I was really fascinated by. And I remember I was, even when I was 3 or 4, I was worried that Sesame Street was going to go off the air before I could learn to drive and get to New York and be cast in it. Of course, worrying at 4 years old, Jewish comedian, it's genetics, I couldn't help it. But I had several connections with the company. When I was in my early teens, my parents and I went to Disney World, and we were on one of those tram cars, and they said, oh, and to our left are the studios being rented out by Jim Henson. I literally leaped off the tram car and went under the security and went to meet him. I broke into a lot of places. I really should be in prison. But the book talks all about that. I mean, I was, you know, doing that sort of thing since day one. And the Henson thing didn't happen until quite a few years later. It's really the only job I ever, if there was enough work, I would do it the rest of my life and give up with everything else, because it's comedy, it's singing, it's acting, it's technology, and it's all wrapped up in one job where it doesn't matter if I get fat or bald or whatever, because no one will ever be able to see me.
So in stringing your, I love that, by the way, did you tell the Henson, did you tell any of the Henson people your story about jumping off the train? That's cool.
Yeah, the kids know about it, and the puppeteers that, you know, really felt the magic during that time of you know, what the man created.
Yeah.
That is tame compared to what some of the kooks do.
What some of the kooks. I love that.
Well, I mean, you know, a lot of the puppeteers, you know, they're like still single and they're like in their mother's basement with a lot of foam and glue. It's not healthy.
Oh, yikes. I'm glad I didn't go into puppeteering. Okay, so because you paint such a lovely picture of that. So you also, of course, you're a comedy guy. You write lots of jokes. You probably still write jokes. And you wrote jokes for the Letterman show. How did that work? If they picked up a joke, they paid you, right, piece by piece, how the jokes went?
Exactly. So I would say the majority of my career the last 20 years has been my comedy variety act. And that branched off into, you know, creating other possibilities. But back in the day, if you weren't a staff writer and you had an in with someone, they would give you a private fax line. In fact, Conan O'Brien is still faxing to this day. I'm like, who is still faxing? But you would fax in up 2 or 3 pages of the jokes, and they'd say, yeah, we'll buy 10 of them. But you never really knew when they'd be on the air until you saw it with everybody else. And then a couple of years later, I'd get called in. Hey, one time I got called in to be a part of a sketch, and it was going to be my network television debut. I'm sitting in the audience. But Michael J. Fox decided to hog up 3 segments to talk about Parkinson's again for the 12th year in a row. We get it. You're fine. You're still here. What about me? So I did get a little bit of the inside scoop on, you know, Dave and, you know, how the show, worked. And, that also branched off and got me other jobs for other late night shows.
Yeah. Well, what was your favorite thing to do? Your variety stuff? Was that your favorite of all?
You know, it's the one that was, the one that was able to, you know, create most of a living for me. I would say, like I said, I'd give it all up if I could have a job puppeteering the rest of my life. I just really enjoy it. But, you know, for a really long time, I just didn't really feel like any one of those things. You know, each one of those jobs lasted for a certain amount of time. I did very well. I had a good name when I left, but it never really snowballed into anything. And, you know, it made me crazy. I thought that I just wasn't finding my thing, and it was a little depressing. And then when I finally realized, years later, after, you know, stage manager, you know, production supervising for a president or two, and then that turned into, you know, I directed Kevin Spacey and all these weird little one-offs, I turned around in recent years and I realized, hey, you know, having an arsenal of information in all different areas of the business, from not only performance and production, but marketing, really is my niche, and that's really the consulting and show doctoring. And ever since this book came out, I've been asked quite a bit to talk about what it is to communicate with people and be able to disarm them in wanting to take your call and continue the call and call you back. It's been really very interesting.
Boy, no kidding. A new career as a speaker / trainer. That would
That's
work.
Right.
Why not?
And I got to say, I never really cared about the show business part. Now, the book, you know, of course, that's all well and good, and that's relatable to everybody. But for anyone who's a little more shallow and just wants a bunch of dirt, that's in the book, too. You know, when the publishers came to me, I'm like, who is going to read another book about show business from someone that nobody knows? And I think they thought that that was a really great angle because, you know, I had no angle except working alongside things. So, you know, it's stories like I snuck past security amidst the Queen of England. I kind of finagled Donald Trump, forcing him to give me a celebrity's paycheck before I went out on stage. Ben Affleck tried to beat me up. You know, it's just a series of oddities. And, of course, you know, what these people are like and what their contracts ask for and all those little peculiar things. In addition to, you know, as you know, in any business, there's great resume pieces. And then the rest of the time, we're all just trying to work. So, you know, one day you're on The Tonight Show, and then the next day I'm being thrown off stage at Disney World, you know, by a Fortune 500 CEO that then went to prison for stock fraud and manipulation the very next week. Just a bunch of weird stuff. And so people seem to be really interested in it, and I'm really pleased about that.
So you mentioned some of the names, you threw out some names there that you talk about in the book, and Ben Affleck almost beat you up. What happened there?
Well, back in the day when I was just doing stand-up, I was getting a lot of work as a fake guest speaker, and what would happen is big companies like AT&T or Apple, they'd have their big stockholders meeting, and they always have entertainment, and they decided to do something different where sometimes I'd be brought in as, like, Steve Jobs' long-lost brother, and then I go up there and I roast him about how mom always liked him best. And he didn't know that. It was done as a joke. Or I'd be called in as just to kind of put the whole place on a very Andy Kaufman type of thing where I give an explanation of their industry and it would get people all riled up. And Ben Affleck's movie Geely was coming out, the one with J-Lo, and the publicity people asked me to go in as one of the press reporters and kind of get in all riled up. And they said that he knew about it, but I don't think he knew about it. They said, look, we don't want you to do it so badly that you get arrested because we're going to give you this money and you're on your own and we're going to pretend we don't know you. I was a kid and I was fine with that. And you'll just have to read the book to see what happened. I mean, I acted bananas. Like all the other press people had those big press cameras and I would get up with a little Kodak disposable and snap it in his face and then like advance the little thing and then go sit down. They thought I was out of my mind. And they did that, of course, so it would end up on Extra and things like that.
Right, and it did. So that worked out for them. Was Kevin Spacey fun to work with?
I got to tell you, it's one of the highlights of my career.
He's such a
genius and so funny and so smart. You know, the job originally was to help him with some special effects and teach him how to do it. And then it turned into a directing thing. They knew that I'd done some directing. He was having problems and issues staying in character and working with the effects that I had given him. So then it came in. And, you know, you really can't tell an Oscar winner how to act. So, you know, you're really just trying to give them choices. And it was a wonderful experience. And I will tell you, not to be a total you know, snorer as far as, you know, collecting things to show my kids one day. But when we started shooting and they're shooting his angle, I asked to be the one that reads opposite him, behind the camera. And they said, oh, yeah, he already asked for you. And then I told the sound guy that he'd have to put a mic on me and record me so in editing they'd know what to do. Well, in truth, that's only half true. I just wanted a recording of me yelling and screaming opposite Kevin Spacey. So which is on my website, and it's the great. I can die now. It was just fantastic.
I love it. Oh, the book. You got to pick up this book, peeps. I mean, are you kidding me? You gave us a lot of juicy stories there for sure. And it's called Breaking Out of Show Business, What I've Discovered by Not Being Discovered. And, Michael, we can get that on Amazon, right?
Amazon, Barnes & Noble, or my website, michaelpaulonline.com. And, of course, all my social media feeds are there as well.
I love it. Michael Paul Ziegfeld, thanks so much for coming on America Tonight.
My pleasure. Have a great night.
You too. Bye-bye.
I'm Kay Swirling from KSCO Radio in Santa Cruz. I'm 93 years old, and I'm a big fan of Alex Jones because he has the courage to speak his mind more than just about anyone I know. Alex is just as bothered as I am about all the advertising you hear for toxic prescription drugs that make you sicker, not healthy. I prefer to give my body all 90 essential nutrients it needs for life to prevent disease, not compound it. My favorite complete supplement is Beyond Tangy Tangerine from Youngevity, which I take every day along with EFA Plus and Beyond Osteo FX. I recommend you go online to InfoWarsTeam.com to purchase these products and make them part of your daily regimen to get healthy and live longer. InfoWarsTeam.com.
So we decided to upgrade the look of our home.
You know, improve the curb appeal.
We decided to add the look of stone to the exterior.
We really like the stacked stone look.
Yeah, but when I checked into the price, it was ridiculous. No way could we afford it.
Then a friend told me about Genstone. G-E-N-S-T-O-N-E.
Genstone comes in lightweight panels made of polyurethane. They've actually engineered the hassle out of installation. No mortar, no mesh. It was easy. Even I could do it.
We just screwed the panels to the wall and it looks like stone. I mean, it really looks like stone.
Yeah, from the box to the wall in minutes.
We love the look of our home now.
And Genstone is durable, comes with a 25-year warranty, and offers additional R-value for insulation.
If you want the look of stone at a price you can afford, call Genstone.
At 855-955-STONE.
Trust me, you'll save money.
And you'll love the look.
855-955-STONE. That's 855-955-7866.
Have you ever felt like the United States government knows way too much about your financial affairs? I continue to hear stories about property seizures, frozen bank accounts, confiscation of stocks and bonds. It makes me wonder if the U.S. citizen will ever again have the right to life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. Unfortunately, with the Drug and Money Laundering Act, the IRS Revenue Ruling 6045 of 1984, and the Trading with the Enemy Act and Franklin D. Roosevelt's Executive Order of 1933, some precious metal holdings are subject to government intervention. For this reason, Midas Resources has prepared a report explaining the boundaries of trading precious metals privately. Whether if you have any intention of trading with Midas Resources or not, I have instructed my representatives to give this report out free. Call for your free copy at 1-800-686-2237. When investing, always proceed with caution. Again, call 1-800-686-2237. Exercise your legal right to trade metals privately. 1-800-686-2237.
As he becomes the second candidate for the Republicans to throw his name into the ring, it's not a surprise. I think almost 6 months after he stepped into office as a senator, you knew that he was going to go for more. You could just tell by some of the things that he was doing. And sure enough, here he is declaring that he's officially in the race.
I have a message. A message that is loud and clear and does not mince words. We've come to take our country back. We've come to take our country back from the special interests that use Washington as their personal piggy bank. The special interests that are more concerned with their personal welfare than the general welfare. The Washington machine that gobbles up our freedoms and invades every nook and cranny of our lives must be stopped. Less than 5 years ago, I stood just down the road in my hometown in Bowling Green and said those same words. I wasn't supposed to win. No one thought I would. Some people ask me, then why are you running? The answer is the same now as it was then. I have a vision for America. I want to be part of a return to prosperity. A true economic boom that lifts all Americans. A return to a government restrained by the Constitution. A return to privacy, opportunity, liberty. Too often, when Republicans have won, we have squandered our victory by becoming part of the Washington machine. That's not who I am.
All right, Rand Paul, you could hear painting some pretty broad strokes. What's interesting is, for anybody there out there listening to me who would call themselves a, quote, Tea Party person, who do you think has a better shot? Ted Cruz, Senator Cruz from Texas, or Rand Paul in Kentucky? Because certainly it's a little bit of a Tea Party rivalry. I think it's fair to say that. And, it makes sense that both came into the Senate kind of at the same time and under the same midterm elections that were a landslide for so many Republicans, and the two of them were absolutely top of the list. So now here they are, both running for president. Who really and truly has the better shot? And you know, that might switch along the way. Something could tilt that you're not expecting in the direction of one of the two, or somebody else completely different who might have more Tea Party backing. But right now, they both have Tea Party backing. And they're both talking about liberty, and they're both talking about government overreach. So there are some similarities between the two of them and their message, which is why the Tea Party was so heavily pushing for Cruz and for Paul when they both won those midterm elections in their respective areas. So it's pretty interesting, and we knew that this was set up this way. I mean, we knew that this was coming down the road, but here it is. Welcome to the race. So Rand Paul and Ted Cruz now have a wide open range to play on, because we know that, yes, others are going to declare, but for right now, they're just the two. They are the two who are in. And the longer, like Jeb Bush waits, the longer even Scott Walker waits, the more that doesn't help either one of them. Although I think Walker has a much better shot than even some people would have initially thought. You can see that in the polls. But Paul, think about this, Rand Paul backed Mitch McConnell against Matt Bevin in 2014, and McConnell is doing nothing to really help him. And Tea Party people were not happy with that because they wanted to see Bevin versus McConnell. And many conservatives were really, really ticked off at Paul for doing that. And you think of Ron Paul's supporters and how rabid or zealous many Ron Paul, his father, many of his supporters were. And they're not really embracing Rand Paul, or at least a lot of them aren't doing it. However, he's done really well at winning these straw polls, but not the regular polls as much. So what does that say for Rand Paul and Rand Paul's chances in 2016? He spent a lot of time pretty much establishing his credibility as a civil libertarian on national security and really using force. And he's going to have to explain how it fits in when we're talking about war and being in a time of war. And how does he jive with the conservative base? And then they're one-term senators, you know. Ted Cruz and Rand Paul, both one-term senators. So you ask the question, what qualifies them to be president? Remember, this was one of the things about Barack Obama that everybody just piled on, that he was barely in the Senate, and here he was running for president. Well, now you have that situation with two others, although they've been there longer. So, it would be fair to say, though, first term senators, and both of them are in the middle of this mix, a mix, by the way, that will change in the next 2 weeks. In the next 2 weeks, we're going to see a lot of people jump into this. If there's any indication by the people who are put in the polls, by some of the things they're saying, how they're dancing around it, I think it's going to be another very, very crowded field with some curveballs at the end. And curveballs are okay. Curveballs are okay, especially if people are watching, paying attention, listening to the issues, and are focused on that, on what's being said. It may be better for the Republicans in the long run. You just don't want it to go too long where there's confusion and there's more rubbernecking than anything when it comes to paying attention to what's being said in the debates, because you don't want them to turn into the spectacle that they became a little bit last time. Not necessarily the first couple, but as it dragged on, that's what happened. And somebody would always trip up, and I mean really trip up, and then they would be out of the race, not overnight, but that would add to pulling apart instead of rallying together around someone eventually in the end. And I guess they say in politics you can't have feelings, because you're going to feel the cuts every single day, and even on your own team, and you're just going to bury them and forget them, because that's what you do, and that's the only way you can be elected. But then we see some of these people get in, like Barack Obama, who to me said they were going to be super transparent and seemed like he was going to have a thick skin when it came to what was being said or written, and it doesn't feel that way at all to me. It feels quite the opposite. And I think it's just going to get worse and worse as we move along. Maybe part of that is the technology, the negative side of technology, where cameras are everywhere capturing your every single move, and maybe that's part of what the big difference is these days versus even 15 years ago in running for president. All right, just some random thoughts as we scramble toward 2016. So the big news, Rand Paul, people still thinking about Rand Paul throwing in for president. Kate Delaney, America Tonight. Thanks for listening, everyone.
IRS has garnished your paycheck or seized money from your bank account, you need to get professional tax help now. Fast action is required to put a halt to these aggressive IRS collection tactics. You can count on the knowledgeable team of tax professionals at Wall & Associates. With over 30 years of experience, Wall & Associates has settled the tax problems of thousands of taxpayers for a small fraction of what they owed. For a free face-to-face consultation, call 1-800-425-4610 to put a wall between you and the IRS. 1-800-425-4610, or look for us on the web at wallandassociates.net. We solve tax problems. If you hire Wall & Associates today, you'll never have to talk to the IRS again. To stop the levies and seizures today, take action now. Call Wall & Associates at 1-800-425-4610. Wall & Associates. 1-800-425-4610. Based on actual cases, results may vary. Not a solicitation for legal services.